Today on Real Radio.
People have completely redefined a phrase or a statement regarding American exceptionalism. People now believe that that is something where an American sticks their nose up and says we're better than everybody else, and that's not what it means.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his special 4th of July message to commemorate the holiday we just celebrated. A Call to Remember is the title. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Does our nation suffer this hour from almost no rudder? Does it seem like we're absolutely mindless and we're spinning out of control? Listen, I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because listen, as long as people are praying and people are caring, change can happen. Real change can happen. Things can turn around. We must not lose hope and forget what God has started. I understand the Bible speaks about last days events. Look, you know that in this church. You know Bible prophecy. But the amazing caveat of God is that he always leaves room for revival. Nineveh was brought back to life. People in Nineveh turned to God. Think of it. Are things bad? Yes. Could things get worse? They could. But will you allow them to get worse? Listen, don't do it. There's enough to fight for. Listen, how many of you have young kids in your life, children or grandkids? Raise your hands. Listen, just that alone should cause us to fight for what's right, to stand up and defend. Our nation is a nation of achievement. Now, there's a big debate going on. In fact, I was watching it tonight as today, I don't know if you know this or not, but today a movie was launched today called America. And nobody paid any attention to it. Nobody criticized it. Nobody said anything about it. Until the crowds began showing up today in theaters across America. And by tonight, there were people of all kinds of different liberal persuasions saying all these negative things about America and all this stuff and how mean we are and all this stuff. And they didn't give it any attention, but now the movie's out and people in droves are going to this movie about America, and the subtitle is, Where would the world be without America? And today, you and I have been kind of conditioned to apologize for America. Listen, don't fall for that stuff. There's no perfect government, but you're sitting tonight in a constitutional form of government that is the longest living constitution in the history of mankind. No other nation in the history of the world has wrought freedoms for its people more than what you have tonight. Don't let it die. Get involved, get engaged, find out what's going on in your culture and stand up for what is right. And let's stand up for what is long lasting, what is beyond the tip of our nose. It's absolutely essential. Did you know that the United States in its efforts have liberated more people in other countries than any other nation on earth? That is a fact. You think about that for a moment. By the way, the United States is still, this is amazing. I went online to the U.S., the CIA website has information on this, and I went to the European Union as well, and I went to the United Nations website as well to confirm this, because it's hard to believe. But did you know still tonight, that there are more people trying to break into America than those that are trying to get out of it? Did you know that? People are still trying to come here. Did you know that there are more people immigrating to the United States legally, I'm saying, just legally, on record, there are more people immigrating to the United States every year than all other nations combined in the world. It's still the great last hope in the world today. People still want to come here for protection, for freedom. They believe in other countries that they can come here and have a free life in our culture, in my community, in this community. Maybe we should stop and ask people when we see them wearing their turbans, for example, or wearing burqas or saris or whatever they're wearing from their culture. We should stop and ask them, excuse me, it's obvious that you may not be from the United States. What caused you to come here? Ask them. You might be surprised to find out that they have immigrants have such a high and lofty view of America. Many of us who are born here, we just think it's just going to continue on. It cannot continue on unless we defend it and stand for it. The United States still to this hour, with all of our financial hardship, the United States is still the most generous, humanitarian, and natural disaster relief nation in the history of America, or history in the world, that is. No other nation exceeds us in that. The United States has more patents and inventions to its name than any other nation regarding our nation's liberties. Did you know that the United States Constitution sets a world's record on Friday? Again, 238 years we've been governed by it. Absolutely brilliant. Now I want to give you some things right now. For some of you young people, I hope you find this exciting. I hope you find this cool. I love this stuff. I'm quoting from John Adams. "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions and unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. If America goes down, it's because we will stop being a moral and religious people. We cannot let that happen." Alexis de Tocqueville, the French philosopher and historian, when he came to the United States, in his own book, and I quote from his own writings, said, "Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. The Americans combine the notion of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive that the one would exist without the other." Isn't that an amazing statement? A man from France lands here in Boston and he observes America and he says, "You cannot separate the Americans' understanding of liberty from their Christianity." That meant that Alexis de Tocqueville saw in the American spirit the understanding that the Bible and the God of the Bible wants you and I free. And I want to add this too. You can be an absolute atheist in the United States. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Try being an absolute atheist tonight in Saudi Arabia. Try being an atheist tonight in Iran. Try being an atheist tonight in Pakistan. It's illegal. It's punishable by death. They not only kill Christians, they'll kill homosexuals, and they'll kill atheists. In America, think of it. You have the freedom granted to you, given to you by our founding fathers. Yes, they were Christians, but they made an open door. If you didn't want to believe in God, you could still enjoy the freedoms. All of us tonight have equal protection under the law. That's a miraculous thing if you think about it. No other nation has ever given its citizens this. No one enjoys this. Jesus said in John 8:36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus said that. Liberty is in the human heart. God made you. The Bible says you've been created in the image of God. Obviously. You're smart. You can have logic and reason. You know what real experience is, and you know what's fake. And so tonight, you can choose to be an American. Tonight, you can choose to be a Christian. Or choose not to be. It's your choice. Our nation's founders. Did you know that 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, 27 of them were Bible seminary educated people? Most of them had attended Christian colleges like John Harvard University, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, to name a few. Christian universities. Universities that were established by pastors to create ministers for America. Regarding the glorious cause, these 56 signers have been considered to be the greatest intellects of America, gathered together in one place in the same time in this, for the same cause in, listen to this, in history. 56 men gathered together in one place over the course of some years to bring about the same thing, and it's believed that because of their education and their IQ, that it's estimated that the smartest guys in the room together for the same cause, that people can gather from information throughout world history, 56 of them were in the same cause in the same room at the same time. Think of the amazing hand of God upon that, I believe. Listen to what William Penn said. Those people who will not be governed by God will find themselves ruled by tyrants. Think of the communism that has swept the world and now really has gone bankrupt. Communism. When you reject God, that's why communism cannot allow God to exist. A handful of power brokers become gods to a culture. And William Penn is right. Those people who will not be governed by God will find themselves ruled by tyrants. Our founders have a deep education and knowledge of liberty and freedom, and they used God's word to bring our freedoms to us. Our nation's faith, now think about this, our nation's faith. We were recently labeled as a nation that is not Christian in 2009. But did you know that Noah Webster, the inventor of the American Dictionary, a founding father, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, author, Congressman Noah Webster says, and I quote, now if you don't like this, I'm quoting Noah Webster, a founding father. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed in. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and the privileges of a free people. That's what Noah Webster said. That's an awesome statement. Think of that. Our nation's hope. A lot of people are losing hope. There was a poll this week, and the poll question asked, are you proud to be an American as we come to the 238th birthday of the United States? Are you proud to be an American? And listen to this, for the first time in recorded American history, 50% of Americans said they're proud to be an American. That's an all-time low, and an all-time high, 44% of those polled said they were not proud to be an American. And the balance, people didn't say. How sad is that? But why did they say they're not proud to be an American? Have they lost hope? Are they losing hope? What is bringing them to this understanding that maybe it's over? I want to encourage you. Because of our lack of being educated regarding what it is to be an American, people have completely redefined a phrase or a statement regarding American exceptionalism. People now believe that that is something where an American sticks their nose up and says we're better than everybody else, and that's not what it means. In 1645, the first statement was made regarding America being exceptional, before it was even named America. The reason why there's this thing called American exceptionalism is that God has so blessed this place. Friends, it is absolutely bizarre. This nation is self-contained in all of its resources. Did you know America can not only feed its Americans within it, America feeds the world. Did you know our natural resources not only take care of us, we can take care of the world. When's the last time you heard that the United States has enough natural gas to supply at our current use our consumption of natural gas up to 300 years from tonight? Did you know that? What about oil? Did you know that the United States now, it's estimated that the United States could possibly have enough petroleum to last us at our current consumption rates for an additional 300 years? Why are we not hearing these things? I want to encourage you tonight. There's great hope. Just because we see things being manifested in a sense of lawlessness today, listen, I don't believe it has to be as bad as it seems. We just need to engage our culture, my friends. We need to remember that the founding fathers prayed to God, and miraculous event after miraculous event, God came through for this nation. In the beautiful, awesome picture of what's called the embarkation of the Pilgrim Fathers, when they were leaving Europe, remember this, you can see this great painting online or in person in our nation's rotunda in Washington, D.C. Remember, those founders aboard that ship had the Bible open as they began to make their voyage to America, and they had it open to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you can see it today. You can read about that. You can see the painting of it. Did you know on the U.S. Capitol building, there's a beautiful painting of a young woman being baptized? She converted to Christianity. She, first of all, listen to this. Before she could even be baptized, and before she was invited to ask Jesus Christ into her life, she was given the gospel for 1 year to make sure she understood what she was accepting. No rushed conversion. That woman accepted Jesus Christ of her own choosing. And the painting of that hangs in our nation's capital. And from that moment of her baptism, her name was changed from Pocahontas to Rebecca. Did you know that? And Rebecca, Pocahontas, when she went on a diplomatic mission to England, she arrived in London, and the Englishman called her Princess Rebecca of America, Pocahontas. I never saw Disney portray that in their cartoon, did you? Amazing truth about America that we don't often hear, if ever. Our nation's leaders. Thomas Jefferson said, "No nation has ever existed or been governed without religion, nor can be. The Christian religion is the best religion that has been given to man, and I, as chief magistrate of this nation, am proud to give it the sanctions of my example." Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention, they had been meeting for 5 weeks and they could not come to an agreement. They had hit a perilous deadlock until the atmosphere was aroused by a call from Benjamin Franklin, who said, and I quote, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible or probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" By the way, from that moment on, they began praying. In fact, they broke up from that meeting. They went across the street and they prayed. And it's as though the heavens broke open. Some of those who wrote about it said the atmosphere completely cleared up. And they went back, by the way, and made world history. Which leads us to this. There was a pledge that came out of that. Did you know that our nation is the only nation in the history of the world to adopt as its national motto, its pledge, its anthem, "In God We Trust"? Some people think that was recent, in the 1950s. And yet history shows us that it surfaced much earlier than that. "In God We Trust." It's on our money. It's at the Supreme Court. It's at the U.S. Capitol. "In God We Trust." Our nation's prayer. At that first Constitutional Convention in 1787, as I mentioned a moment ago, little progress had been made. But they went to prayer at the calling of Benjamin Franklin. And the prayer that was offered up was such an amazing prayer by Pastor Jacob Duché that John Adams wrote to Abigail Adams and said that it was a prayer that was offered up by heaven itself. Friends, listen, never stop praying for America. It is your home. It is the last beacon of freedom. There's no place better on earth, no matter what people tell you. I saw tonight on the news, getting ready to come here, that Bill Ayers, the founder of that radical group, the Weather Underground, domestic terrorist group in America of the 70s, Bill Ayers said on TV tonight, he said that America is the reason why there's great evil in the world. Think of that. I can argue back and say, no, there's no perfect government on earth, but America has been used by God to be a beacon, to be a shining light. In fact, it was the writings of the pilgrims who announced that America could be a city on a hill. And when Ronald Reagan read that, Ronald Reagan added, and you know it now, it's in history books, that America can become a shining city on a hill. And you remember that. That is an awesome thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called A Call to Remember. A Call to Remember is in commemoration of the holiday we just celebrated this past weekend, the 4th of July. On our next broadcast, we'll resume in our series, The Parables of Jesus, and that's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to let you know about an event coming up here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and who better to tell us about it than Pastor Jack himself. Now, Pastor Jack, you and I have a lot of fun here on the radio chit-chatting back and forth, but when it comes to worldview, we get serious. This is a serious topic for you.
Worldview is my thing. And believe it or not, my friend, it's your thing. Every bit of your thinking is based upon the worldview that you have formed.
Yeah.
It could have been a worldview that knowingly or unknowingly you formed because you grew up in a home of atheism,
yeah,
or religion or Christianity or nothingness. But you have a worldview. And listen, today more than ever, I believe that we're mandated from the Bible, and I can prove that, where not only should the Christian and the church have a biblical worldview and really be public about it,
yeah,
but sad today, one of the great things that's killing the church today is many of you may attend a church where the ministry that you're involved in, the church that you go to, they don't even address worldview issues.
Yeah.
Worldview is issues like racism in light of the Bible, homosexuality. What does the Bible say about such things? And what about social justice or some of these things that are really reshaping,
right,
the way some Christians are thinking? We need to get back to the Bible. And that's why we're having this conference called Engage. Listen, it's gloves off, no goofing around, taking the Bible and infusing it into your life so that you would leave this conference being able to answer honestly, lovingly, with a biblical worldview, the challenges that you deal with every day.
So many times I get into a conversation, I go, where do I go from here? So let's get people out to this Engage conference,
yeah,
so you can learn how to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single day on a normal level. It's Friday, July 17th, 6:30 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday the 18th from 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Who's going to be with us?
Well, some really good speakers. One of them is a guy that just every time he opens his mouth, I just I'm impressed. And that's Frank Turek.
Okay.
Many of you may have already heard or seen Frank Turek do his thing. And when I say do his thing, Frank is such a gifted speaker and defender of the faith. His logic, his reason, again, his biblical worldview,
yeah,
is so powerful. And I want everybody to really hear him argue the biblical truth. You know, we've got Jeff Myers with us, who is the founder and president of Summit Ministries, a life-changing work that he's doing. Just a great word is going to be coming from Jeff. And listen, some of you have heard of a gentleman who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ted Cruz.
Right.
I've had the wonderful opportunity to meet Ted Cruz on numerous occasions back in Washington, D.C. I've heard him give some amazing Bible devotions. Ted Cruz, mind you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not speaking.
All right. His dad, though.
His dad is.
Yeah, I love this
Let
guy.
Let me tell you something. Rafael Cruz will blow your mind.
Yeah.
You will see why Ted Cruz is such a good man of integrity when you meet his dad.
Yeah.
Come on out and hear Rafael Cruz. And then we have with us Alan Schlemann, who's from Stand to Reason, a great ministry able to argue the defense of the faith, the accuracy and reasonableness of God's word in our culture today. Davey, personally, I tell you what, I mean, this is such a great event. There's no fee. We've got some generous people who've made it possible,
yeah,
for this thing to be free. Okay.
Can I throw in here real quick? Admission is free,
yeah,
but you got to register.
You got to register,
everybody. We want to make sure you have a seat. So just call us and get a hold of us. Tell us you want to be here. If you need more info, you want to register, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click on the Engage conference link.
Yeah.
It's real simple. We'd love you to be here, and we need to know that you're coming.
And bring someone with you. Space is limited. We have 3,000 seats, so come on out.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.